Thank you for that. All right. What we're going to do tonight, we're going to do something a little different. You hope you brought popcorn. We're going to watch a movie for a little bit. Okay. We showed it several years ago, and it's a true story, great illustration to illustrate missions. It's called The Harvest. And so we're going to show that. And then afterwards, we'll have Brother Esposito. He'll come up and he'll preach to us a little bit. Okay. So if we can get this fired up, and then one of the ushers can.
That's a tremendous video. Third time I've watched it today. For those of us who've been members of Pacific Baptist Church, just a lot of parallels. Turn your Bible to John chapter 4, if you would. From what my wife told me, you guys get out 8 o'clock. So I've got 17 minutes. Man, I wish we did that in Phnom Penh. Brother Board is just like over the top. He preaches for an hour and a half, and I don't understand a word he says. Amen? And we don't have air conditioning, and it is just hotter than purgatory. All right. 3 services a week. If I'm not preaching, I have to sit in a service for 2.5 hours, don't understand a word that's said. When I walk out of the service, my head is just killing me. But let's all stand. We're just going to a couple minutes. I do want to mention this. I'm not going to take time. I've just finished a book. They just arrived today. It's called Peeking Through the 1040 Window, Why It Matters to God, Why It Should Matter to Us. To my knowledge, it's the only book written by an independent Baptist on this topic. And they'll be made available next week during Missions Conference. We're selling them for $8. It cost me $4.50 to print them. Every penny that comes in, it goes to the impoverished of Cambodia. Amen. And we'll talk about that next week. But John chapter 4, real quickly, we're going to read verses 34 through 37. Excuse me. I'll read out loud. You read along with me silently. The Bible says, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and there then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal. That both he that soweth and he that reapeth. You see in this passage of scripture, you see teamwork. And just like you saw in the video, the coming together. And that's really my short challenge tonight. Missions Conference begins next week. Missions Revival begins next week. But my encouragement is that the Pacific Baptist Church family come together and pray that God will do something special during the missions revival, and then God will do whatever it is that he wants to do around the world. And he that reapeth receiveth the wages, gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And here is the saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. And verse 38, I sent you to reap to where ye bestowed no labor, other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. Father, I pray that you take the few moments that we have and speak to our hearts. Tonight's not Missions Conference, it's not Missions Revival, but Brother Myers in his wisdom, you've led him to show this video. The truth of the matter is, I don't need to say anything tonight. That video said it all. But I pray that a couple things that I might say tonight would be a blessing, encouragement, and challenge us for the harvest. And speak to our hearts, prepare us for next week. I pray that if nothing else, we will all make a decision that we're going to pray for the next 7 days that God would do something special in each and every one of our hearts and through this church family that will reach, literally reach, around the world. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Not long ago, we were visiting in Stoneman Jay. Stoneman Jay's a part of Phnom Penh. Stoneman Jay, some of you have been there. Stoneman Jay is a very impoverished area. Lord willing, in a few months, we'll be starting a church there. Cambodia, in general, is very impoverished. The average Cambodian makes $1.50 a day. It's a very poor area. Now, there's some who are very wealthy, but the majority of the country, are impoverished. It's hard for us to even explain how impoverished it is. Hopefully during Missions Revival, I'll show maybe a couple PowerPoint pictures and that type of thing. But we're planning on, Lord willing, starting a work there in Sunman Jay. At one time, Sunman Jay was known around the world as one of the poorest areas in all the world. It was just 10, 12 years ago, it was much worse than it is today, and I can't even fathom that. And we go soul winning there every Tuesday, and it's my favorite time of the week. I have a heart for the impoverished, for the poor, and my heart breaks when I see it, but it is my favorite time of the week. And I look forward to Tuesdays, and I look forward to visiting with Vanak every Tuesday. I visit with him every Tuesday. He interprets for me. I look forward to sharing the gospel with these poor people in the squalor. And sometimes we come, and we come, they bring out a little plastic chair, and you're walking through raw sewage. You're watching. Some of you follow me on Instagram. You've seen me put the pictures of the rats that they get out of the sewers. They're cutting open to sell in the market. And you know, it's just for us as Americans, it's just like appalling. But we come there, and when we get there, they'll give us a plastic chair. It's almost like we have a church service, and I get the teaching, and Vanak graciously interprets for me, and we share the gospel. We've seen some of the people saved, and we'll talk a lot about that next week. But one day, we were going there, and we met a young lady. Her name is T. Again, those of you following me on Instagram or you get my prayer updates, you've heard about T many, many times. T and her husband, Sung, lost without Christ, know nothing about Christ, absolutely nothing about Christ. And one day, I'm sitting down, and Susanna is with me. Susanna goes with me every week on Tuesdays, and Susanna takes care of the kids. She doesn't understand them, and they don't understand her, but love is a universal language, and they love her. They just love her. By the way, Sue and Joy are just doing a tremendous job and giving their hearts to the young people there. But what Sue does is she takes care of the kids because there's all kinds of kids there. And while we're talking to the adults, if it wasn't for Sue, we couldn't talk to the adults. And so Sue's I have no idea what she's doing because they don't understand her. She's just loving them to Jesus. Amen. And I don't have time to tell some of the stories. But anyway, so we start sharing with T. Her husband that wasn't there that day, it was T and a lady named Tia. And then I'm trying to think, and T's cousin, I think it was a cousin, I haven't seen her since. And we're sharing, I'm sharing the gospel, and all of a sudden, T looks at me, and this is all through interpreter, she speaks very little English. In fact, I just found out a couple weeks ago she spoke English. I said, man, why didn't you tell me? Wow. But she doesn't speak very good English. But she looked at me, and she said, I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go to hell. She got saved a few weeks ago. Her husband got saved a few weeks ago. By the way, pray for her because recently she left to Malaysia to support her family. She left her husband. She left her baby. And anybody knows anything about Malaysia, it's not a good place for a woman to go. That's what Missions Revival, Missions Conference is all about. Bringing the gospel to people. I meet people every week in Cambodia, every week, that have never heard the name of Jesus. Not once. I meet people every week that have never heard the gospel. We're working with a young lady. Her name is Naren. Naren is 28 years old. She works for Coffee Bean. We got a coffee bean ministry going, and a pretty effective one, too. But Naren comes to our house quite frequently. She's 28 years old, and my wife and I and the girls have been working with her for about 6 months. One day at our house, we invite her over for a meal, and one day I brought a Bible out, and I was going to share some verses from the Bible with her. She speaks very good English. And she asked me what the book was. I said, this is a Bible. I said, have you ever seen one? She said, I've never heard of that. I said, you've never heard of the Bible? She's 28 years old. She's educated. She lives in Phnom Penh. This is not somebody who lives in a village. That's what the harvest is all about. Amen. That's what Missions Conference, Missions Revival is all about. I want to challenge you tonight, just like that video. That video is just powerful. And there are so many parallels in that video with Pacific Baptist Church. So many parallels. But I want to encourage you over the next 7 days to pray that God will do something special in your heart and in your life and the hearts and lives of those in your family. And pray that God will help Pacific Baptist. By the way, I appreciate Brother Myers and the men doing just a wonderful job. The church is just doing great. Pray that you'll come together like they did for the harvest. And pray that God will do something that looks like it can't be done. Think about those children, you know, father's gone. Father lived for the harvest. That's what he lived for. And he's gone. They felt the burden on their shoulders to care for the harvest. And the girl, the friend, said, well, you know, your dad always said pray. I remember 2 years ago, the night my brother went to the hospital, the message I preached here 2 hours before he went to the hospital, pray to the Lord of the harvest. About the harvest. And how in that video, all of a sudden, people from all over the place, even people didn't even get along. They just came together because there was a cause that was greater than even their difficulties and their troubles. So my encouragement and my challenge for you tonight is the next 7 days, pray that God will do something. You say, well, what will God do? He's going to do something different for all of us. For some of you, God is going to call you to go to the mission field. For others of you, God is going to call you to make good on the decision you made a few years ago to go to the mission field. For others of you, God's going to speak to your heart about giving. We can't go if you don't give. For all of us, God will speak to us about praying. We need your prayers. You have no idea how much missionaries in a third world country need your prayers. We need your prayers. Our missionaries get lonely. They're without their families. Sometimes they feel guilty. It's a different culture. They need your prayers. I don't know what God's going to do in your heart. I don't know what God's going to do in your life, but he's going to do something. And so what we want to do is we want to pray and say, God, prepare my heart. Break up the fallow ground. You know, as God was starting to deal with my heart and life and prepare me to eventually tell my brother, I'm going to resign. I don't know exactly what I'm doing, where I'm going to go. There was a period of time where God just had to break up the fallow ground. I mean, a lot of you people know me. I was like the last person that you ever imagined going to the mission field, especially to Asia. Somebody say amen. And my brother used to say, he said about me, he's a marshmallow. He's white on the inside. He's white on the outside. Brother Pineda was a banana or whatever. I forget. Brother Pineda was something, yellow and white. And my brother, I forget what he was. Everybody was something. Brother Myers, major marshmallow. But anyway. So God's good. God wants to work in your heart and life. Two quick stories and then we're done. Just don't tell Brother Board we got done so soon. He'll think you're liberal. The story that Brother Myers was telling you about, there were a couple of details he left out, maybe doesn't know. During the Iranian crisis, a missionary was invited to a missions emphasis. He was not the only one, but he was told by the pastor or the pastoral staff, we want you to go up, and all you're going to do is you're going to give a missions minute, but we're going to give you 2 minutes. You only have 2 minutes. You know, it's hard enough to try to get it done in 20 minutes, let alone 2 minutes. And, you know, the missionary sitting in the front row, man, what am I going to say in 2 minutes? And you know, the goal was make an impact. You only have 2 minutes. So the missionary, when they called him up, he came up, and like Brother Myers mentioned, he said, boy, it's a tragedy what's going on in Iran and our hostages, and many of us, of course, lived through that. We remember that. He said, I just want to ask, how many of you pray on a regular basis? I don't remember if he said every day, but how many of you pray on a regular basis for the hostages in Iran? And he said just about everybody in the crowd raised their hand. And he said, can I ask you one more question? Remember, he only had 2 minutes. He said, how many of you pray for, and I forget the population at the time, 45 million. How many of you pray regularly or every once in a while for the 45 million Iranians who are in captivity to a false religion, lost without Christ, on their way to hell? And he said, 2 or 3 people raised their hand. And then he looked at the crowd and he said, I guess we're better Americans than we are Christians. And he walked off the platform. That's what you call a missions moment. Somebody say amen. Pray over the next 7 days for the world and for what God wants you to do to reach the world for Christ. One more story, then we're done. Or I won't be invited back. Many years ago, true story, many years ago, I think it was about 50 years ago, a little boy, I may have shared this story here, I don't remember, a little boy got lost in a field like that. And I think, if I remember correctly, he was in the state of Kansas, and yeah, I think it was Time magazine, maybe Life, there used to be a magazine called Life, one of the big magazines. What they did is they had 4 or 5 pictures of this tragedy that took place. The first picture was the parents, if I remember correctly, the parents looking on the wheat field with this look of, the kind of look a parent would have when they've just lost their child. The second picture, you went to the second picture, the second picture, if I remember correctly, the second picture was the parents walking through the wheat field. They were looking for their child. The third picture was a picture, a group of people like the video we just saw, a group of people from the community came, and they joined hands together. And what they did is they made a long line to walk through the wheat field so that they could find the boy. That was the third picture. The fourth picture was a picture of the child laying there dead with this caption. If we had only joined hands earlier. If we had only joined hands earlier. My encouragement to the Pacific Baptist Church family tonight is to join hands for the cause of Christ around the world. Let's stand. Let's pray. Brother Myers, would